There's no crying in baseball!
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years!
I said, fuck you, Joe. I do it myself.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. So what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, and you can change, everybody can change!
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brennan.
I am the great and powerful Oz.
Oh, yeah?
Of course.
I can...
Outside.
Put the curtain back up.
We're fun with effects. We haven't played with these nearly enough, guys. Our one effect.
I'm glad you got that one effect.
Yeah. What? I actually have 16 effects to pull the curtain back, but that's the only one I want to use. That's it.
That's all we got.
We call that God mode.
Yeah, it's God mode. So what do you guys want to talk about? You have a bracket, right? Let's get that out of the way.
Well, I just wanted to ask Zach while I'm getting the bracket ready.
Oh, boy.
Have you seen the new episodes of Community yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you're killing me.
I know. I feel, like, super guilty about it, too.
You know what?
Keith David's
there. You know what really bothered me? It was because I really wanted to, like, watch it on Yahoo's screen.
Uh-huh.
And my wife's computer is so fouled up. Like,
oh.
And it was, like, just clip. You get, like... a second and a half, and then it paused.
Oh, that's unbearable.
So I ended up torrenting a free web episode to watch it.
I don't think that's even illegal. That's like, it's not illegal to torrent. It's just illegal to torrent, like, copyrighted stuff, right?
It's still copyrighted.
Is there not a copyright on Community now?
But, I mean, like, if you're watching a free web episode, that can't be illegal, right? Maybe it is.
It's illegal to watch stuff that's free on cable, too.
That's true. But you have to pay for cable, theoretically.
You have to pay for the internet.
Yeah.
So you're paying for the delivery service either way.
Didn't have episodes on Hulu Plus
in any
yet.
Case, let's maybe stop throwing Brandon under the bus.
Really quick, that sort of reminded me of this for some reason. So because Park and Rex is done, me and my wife were looking for something to watch last night. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and I couldn't go through the stuff we were supposed to watch because it was my wife's birthday. So I was trying to be nice. I was like, let's try Parks and Recs again. And she's like, okay. Like, I watched it here and there. Like, I watch a lot of scattered episodes because I did enjoy it, you know. My wife is in.
Nice.
She's in now. It's exactly what happened with The Office. I got her to watch the first season, and she really didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, a couple months passed, and then she, like, watched the first season on her own, and she's like, that's really funny. I'm like, hey, I got the second season.
Then
we got through it. Yeah. And she completely forgot she watched it the first time. But this time it was like, you know what it was? Mm-hmm. She made the connection of everybody who's in the show. Like, she's seen a bunch of stuff with Nick Offerman now. So she looked at Nick Offerman.
It's
and, like,
impossible
that makes
not
her laugh.
To know who Chris Pratt is now.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, she's... okay, so Guardians of the Galaxy is, like, the one movie my wife, since we've been married, has, like... willingly gone and watched like three times now.
Nice.
Like, she usually watches something and she's done at least for years before she watches it again. But, like, yeah, she was just like, she really enjoyed that movie. So she saw Chris Pratt in the first episode we watched because I was like, let's just pick up where we left off, you know, like 2 years ago or whatever. And it was the one where Chris Pratt is like, he goes to clean up the house for his girlfriend when she leaves, and he's like in a wading pool at one part and they like completely blur out his dick, and he like, somebody goes and steals his stereo, and so he's chasing him naked down the street with a cast on both legs, like running after him down the street, and she laughs so hard. She was just in, and she laughed as much as I did. So
good.
She's
so
turned the corner. So what we are doing, like, a Parks and Rec dive now.
I'm so happy. I'm a gigantic Parks and Rec fan. I'm so happy for
we
you.
We watched like six of them last night.
Nice.
So it was pretty nice.
That's a good run.
Yeah, it's pretty. For my wife, that's a really good run. Like, six episodes of anything means she's in.
Mm-hmm.
So. And she laughed. That's the key thing. She laughed the whole time. So
that's also what you look for.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that that just happened right when we're about to get this flood of everything.
I know.
Like Daredevil's about to happen, oh, and I'm like so Game of Thrones is coming back, and unfortunately Bates Motel has come back, so I already had to watch two of them. I managed to keep it under wraps for the first episode. She's like, hey, what about Bates Motel, is that back again? I'm like, I don't have any. She's like, but is it back? And I'm like, yeah. So we had to watch like two back-to-back episodes a couple nights ago.
That sounds yikes. Grueling.
I have tried going down because they have the season two up on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was kind of into it. I was kind of into it. Like, just
I was in there on season one, and then season two, I was like in, and then it just progressively got worse. Like,
every episode progressively is like, this is the worst episode I've watched. And then you watch another one, like, nope, this is the worst.
It goes like that through the finale. I will say season three, I don't remember them being as bad as season two.
Give them time. Give them time.
it's not good. And it is one of those shows where it is none of the actors' fault. It's really not. It's just the way that they, you actually nailed it when I talked about it originally. It's the fact that there's so many people killing people around town that it's like, it makes Norman Bates like not so bad. And Norman Bates should be the monster of the show.
Yes.
He should be. Like, he is the legendary serial killer. He should be a legendary serial killer on the show.
The only one on that show that should have a right to top Norman Bates would be Norma.
Yeah.
Like, out of anybody. And you're what I like growing up watching Psycho, you're like, Norman Bates's mother should be the most god awful person on the planet, just like berating everybody, everything, like controlling everything. And I don't get that out of her character.
And I know I've minorly talked about this on the show before, but I'll bring it up again. Have you seen Psycho 2?
No.
So the really fucked up thing about Norma Bates is that, like, what you find out, the twist at the end of Psycho 2. So I'm just going to give it away because nobody's going to watch this movie. But, like, the whole time, like, he gets out of prison. Everybody's against him getting out in prison. He starts running the hotel and people start getting murdered at the hotel. But they can't link it up to him. And then finally, at the end of the movie, you find out that it's not Norman killing these people. It's his actual mother. Because you find out that
it was his aunt, wasn't it?
It was actually his mother. But yeah, who he thought was his mother his entire life was his aunt. And she kidnapped the mother. And when she found out all the horrible things they were saying about her baby, she couldn't put up with it. So everybody who like got killed was somebody who like had a grudge against Norman Bates. And so the very last scene, and this, I love it, dude. It's such a great ending. So she's explaining all this and she's in the kitchen explaining it, like staring out a window, and he slips up behind her with a frying pan, knocks her out, kills her. And then, like, drags her upstairs, and, like, you see him, like, popping her into the rocking chair, and then you hear this, Norman, put me by the window, like his crazy alter ego. I was so in, dude. It was such a great little twist on that one. Like, for not being directed by Alfred Hitchcock, it was a pretty solid movie, I thought. But then again, I haven't seen it since high school, so I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think I'm pretty sure I've seen it at some point in my life, but not intelligently enough to talk about it.
Yeah, and then Psycho 3 was garbage, and then Psycho 4 was actually, I remember, being kind of good. Like, it kind of gave the origin for how he got fucked up the way he is, which they just completely ignored for Bates Motel, it seems like.
Well, they needed to add 50 serial killers in a 2-year span.
Right, exactly. Let's just put some drug
weed crime bosses. And, yeah,
and that's the thing. It's for
underground
weed,
human
dude.
Sex trafficking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they open up with the sex trafficking. It's just like there's other dramatic things you can have in a show that doesn't involve murder with other characters.
Here's the other thing. It's already bad enough that it's like basically impossible for Norman to become a legendary serial killer in a town with like a million serial killers. But now you've set it up so that by the time Norman's an adult, nobody should be surprised he's killing people at all. Like, this is a town where only evil happens.
That's the thing. Everybody seems to be like, everybody except for family members of people who are in the drug trade is acutely aware that there's like a drug trade in town where lots of people die. Like,
yeah, and they're all fine with it for the most part.
It seems like it. They just don't want to step on any toes.
They don't want to be the next one.
This is not fucking Goodfellas. This is Bates Motel. Like, this is the best you can do. Yeah, that it really bothered me, but I digress. So what's the bracket?
All right. Brandon's
going to spring a bracket on us here.
So I came across a bracket. It was a few weeks ago, and I've just kind of been saving it for a while. It's the best TV characters of the 2000s, which they're all male actors or male characters.
Wait, you know what? Maybe that's a good thing because it means we can revisit it with female characters down the line. We've now made this into a gimmick for another episode.
We can make up our own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hopefully we don't get this one stolen too.
All right. So what do they got?
We're going to start out with the comedy corner. And this is a Sweet 16 bracket.
Okay.
All right, the first one we have, number 9 versus number 13, Homer Simpson versus Larry David.
Ooh, god damn.
Like, it starts out brutal.
Wow.
That is brutal.
I guess when you limit it to 16, things like this are going to happen.
I'm going to go Homer.
I was going to say the same thing.
And I'm going to go Homer on this one as
and
well.
And here's why. Like, as much as I love Larry David has one speed.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that speed, and I love that speed. But Homer Simpson, like, in his own show, he can be a supporting character or a main character, depending on what's happening. And he's equally great at both. He also, that show runs the gamut of everything.
Yeah.
And Homer's able to, like, I can't think of any other character who can go from like 5 different complete emotions within 30 seconds and believe like all of them.
It is
like he could just find an empty beer and go through 5 emotions about it. So that's why I got to go Homer.
And then you add in the longevity factor. Like, he's been a beloved character for almost 30 years.
Yeah, he is kind of, he's the Iron Man of like the 2000, not even the 2000s, just like the fictional character brackets. I don't know. All right.
I think Homer has to be an early front runner if he's already talking about Larry David.
Was he 9 or 13?
He was number 9.
That's ridiculous, dude. All right.
All right. Next we have Sheldon Cooper versus Michael Scott.
Well, this is easy. I hate Sheldon Cooper, so Michael Scott. It didn't matter who you said after Michael Sheldon Scott Cooper.
And I will say, if you look at those early offices, dude, the American one, I mean, like the first couple of seasons, like risque stuff you can't even do on network TV today.
Yep.
So give him points for that.
Now we're down to the villains corner.
Ooh.
Number one, Tony Soprano. Was Walter White.
Oh, that's...
Versus number 5, Dexter Morgan.
Walter White.
Walter White was in the 2000s? I guess. Yeah, I guess he was. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got to go Walter White. Even Dexter at his prime didn't reach Walter White in season 1, I don't think.
Nope.
Yeah. And I loved the first 2 seasons of Dexter.
But it's just not on the same level.
Yeah. No.
Number 2, Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Versus number 3, Don Draper.
I really like Don Draper.
Me too, but I have to go Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not even going to justify it. It's just...
He's the alpha dog of the HBO male leads.
I got to say, I'm impressed with what they picked so far, though.
I mean, I guess... But that's the thing, is when you limit it to 16, you're cutting the wheat from the chaff.
Well, and I feel like this
we're
was...
We're, what, 6 in now?
That's true.
Let's hang on and find out what else they
and
got.
I think this is a, like, cut from a larger bracket, so we're only getting the cream of this.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Oh, dang you, phone. All right, we're now into medical and supernatural.
That's a weird pair to slap together. That's like having a musical and comedy Golden Globe.
Okay.
I got a feeling this is where I'm going to be out. I can't think of any medical or supernatural shows I necessarily liked in the 2000 to 2010 era.
Okay, so I actually am going to retract my statement. This is a completely male. We actually have 2 females in this.
Oh, okay.
So, now, are they supernatural or doctors?
And so they naturally face them off against each other. Yeah. So we can't have 2 women.
No, of course not.
Advance.
There can only be That's one. Ridiculous. They're like Highlanders.
They should have just put them separated and had them against Walter White and Tony Soprano just to end them immediately.
There you go. Get them both out. Good Lord.
Girl power, right?
So our number one was Gregory House.
That makes sense.
Versus Carol Hathaway.
Who's Carol Hathaway?
And I can't read the actual what she's from.
Oh, God. All right, hang on.
Somebody knows.
I gotta do some research.
But it's not me.
I just...
And I've watched a little House, so that's the only reason I'm going to go with House.
I have not watched an episode of House, but he's made me giggle once or twice on commercials. That might be all I have to go off on this.
I've watched a lot of episodes of House, and it's a good performance. I'll take him, but I need to find out who Carol Hathaway is. this is important information.
Just for posterity's sake.
Oh, that was Juliana Margulies on ER.
There you go. It's like a tiny little house.
And I've seen ER.
If they had just said Dr. Juliana Margulies, we would have known.
Yeah, it's got to be House on this one.
She wasn't even like really a driving force on that show.
Yeah, what's going on here? Maybe she was in the 2000s.
She was definitely a name for being on ER.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she was the driving force for a couple of those.
I'd say Clooney. Well, he was probably more the 90s, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was off by that.
But isn't like Anthony Edwards more of a driving force?
Noah Wiley is more of a driving force than he's the main character. John Stamos
is more of a driving force than she was. And I actually didn't willingly watch ER. The retirement home I worked on when it was brand new, everybody I worked with watched ER. So I wound up having it on the TV a lot. So,
all right. So
it wasn't bad. It's just not my speed. I'm not like medical drama guy.
So House is moving on. Next in this bracket, we have Rick Grimes versus Buffy Summers.
Buffy.
Really?
Yep. I don't even have to think about it. I like Rick Grimes a lot, but he's more of a project yourself onto character than anything. He's sort of a blank slate as far as being a character goes.
You know what? Okay, here's the thing. I like the character of Rick Grimes more, but if I look at what he's done in the show versus Buffy, I got to go Buffy.
And if you
she's done a lot in the show.
And if you look at which character was more influential, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like Rick Grimes hasn't inspired shit.
Yeah, I'll go Buffy on this, but wow. If you count in the comic book work, I'm going Rick Grimes. It's nothing against Andrew Lincoln. He just hasn't hit where his arc is badass yet, necessarily. And a lot of the badass stuff from the comics they didn't keep in, like him losing an arm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really cool. It's a great character trait that Rick Grimes has. He's missing one arm, but everybody's afraid of him.
It's because he can't button his shirt. You know he's crazy.
Wow, this one actually really surprised me. Like, because I pretty much figured out how the first round was going to go. Like looking at this,
but I'm glad there was at least one upset.
We can say that's an upset, right? That's the number one cable show right now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And we're into the crime corner.
Oh, boy.
We have Jack Bauer versus Francis Underwood.
Wait, hang on. Jack Bauer's in the crime corner, but Walter White isn't?
Yeah, that's weird.
But he's a villain.
Oh, so maybe it's like people who are in charge of... I don't know. You can't justify that with those two names.
It's kind of like the basketball tournament where they call them the geographical location, but that means jack shit.
You're right.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of 24, and I actually, I got to go Frank Underwood. What I've seen of House of Cards, I like it. So
I'll go Frank Underwood as well.
You know, I was actually going Frank Underwood, so... This one was an upset according to the bracket because we had Jack Bauer's number.
They're wrong. If anything, we're giving the proper answers.
Yes.
All right. And we have Vic Mackey from The Shield.
Ooh.
Michael Chiklis' characters. And Raylan Givens from Justified.
This is hard for me because Justified is one of those shows I'm waiting. This is its last season and I'm waiting to start it. Have you seen either of these shows?
I have seen neither.
Why don't me and Brandon give our opinion since we're the least knowledgeable?
Okay.
So I've seen an episode of The Shield. Michael Chiklis, a force to be reckoned with in that episode.
Yes.
So that's what I'm going to go with. I've not seen anything with Justified other than a commercial, which you couldn't even possibly, there's no acting even. It was all CGI'd. like a super cool look where it did a pan around and stuff. Like, yeah, I have no idea how Justified even is, other than my mom keeps telling me it's really good and I should watch it, or should have watched it, I guess. It's off now.
It's
right?
In its last season.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So you know where I'm going.
Brandon, go ahead.
You know, I am going to go with Raylan Givens, because I really like the American Jedi in my mind. So I think he's better than the Thing.
Okay. All right, Zach, you get to, as it should be, the one who's actually seen the shows gets to make the decision.
So I've only seen a few episodes of Justified. It's one I've been saving, but I really like Timothy Oliphant's performance. But man, Vic Mackey, partially for what he did by birthing FX, partially because it's a powerhouse chickless performance, and partially because it's just a cool, straight up cool character. And they got to do things on that show that people didn't know you could do yet.
Yeah.
On cable, which is always
it nice. Definitely was a trendsetter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll go Vic Mackey.
Because you could do that stuff on HBO by that point.
But nowhere
else. But you couldn't
else.
Do that yeah. on
expanded cable.
Cable. Yeah. Nobody mm-hmm. thought you could do that on FX.
And then they did. And it was magical.
So on to the Elite Eight. So we're back to the comedy corner. We have Homer Simpson versus Michael Scott.
I gotta take Homer.
Homer Simpson and a home run. Yeah, mm-hmm. We don't need to dwell on that.
All right. So Walter White versus Tony Soprano.
This is a Sophie's choice. I'm not going to like myself at the end of either. I love both of those characters, man. Oh, that's tough.
You know, man. I'm going to start out on this one because you both seem, and I am definitely leaning one way or another, and I'm going to throw my vote behind Walter White. Just because having watched the entire series and how in-depth his character is and what you see, the range you get out of this character, I really enjoy out of it. So I'm going to throw my hat behind Walter White.
You are the one who knocks. I just
hey,
we finally
if you
want to
take
Walter
down the
White.
King, you better not miss.
All right, Zach.
So here I'm having a real crisis.
I am too. That's why I'm throwing it to you.
And
first.
what I'm deciding between right now is I'm deciding whether I want to go the way I'm slightly leaning, and it's only ever so slightly that I'm leaning towards Walter White, but. I don't like the idea that if I go Walter White and you go Walter White, it ended up being a 3-0 victory. I feel like this has to be a 2-1.
You could just go Tony Soprano
you know
and make Biggs.
That's what I'm about
I've
to
make
I'm
my
take,
decision.
I'm going to take Tony Soprano and make Biggs decide who wins.
Okay. I have to explain this because I did make a decision when I said, like, right when I said that, I made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a well-reasoned decision. I've seen every episode of both series. I'm more qualified to answer this question than probably any of the others, okay? So here's the thing. Breaking Bad, better overall. Like, there's not really, in my opinion, any weak episodes of the show. It got better and better. The characters are all strong. Even the ones who don't seem strong at the start wind up strong at the end. Walter White is a compelling character from episode one. But Tony Soprano was there first and always is the most compelling character in that show. And I think is a better character because I think he's just a hair more nuanced than Walter White. Like, because where Walter White, he kind of lets the evil take him over, you know, like he's a family man at the start and kind of lets it take him over. And then he just kind of recedes back a little bit at the end. Whereas Tony Soprano feels just a hair more real to me because he is this guy who like loves his family and doesn't want them to do the, like doesn't want his kids to follow down the wretched path that he's gone down. And yet he always continues to do this awful stuff. But like, I could never take my eyes off of James Gandolfini. And there are certain scenes in Breaking Bad where Cranston doesn't win. Like what I mean, like the mm-hmm. act off kind of, there are certain scenes where like he kind of loses. Like, for example, when you have Saul in a scene with Walter White, who's your favorite character in the scene?
But here's that's sort of a loaded question because I don't necessarily equate favorite character in the scene as best performance in the scene at all times.
Okay. But we're not talking actor either. We're just talking like character. Sure, and my favorite also, character was Saul most of the time when he was up.
But even then, I wouldn't equate favorite to being the best character necessarily 100% of the time either.
I understand what you're saying. This is not a slight. It's just when you're when you're picking apart two giants.
I can't really answer that question because it's a loaded question.
These really should have been A1 and A2 at the end of the bracket. It's a shame they had to clash heads so soon. But in the end, I got to go Tony Soprano because he's always my favorite character in every scene. And that's ultimately why I'm going to go with Tony Soprano. So I'm just explaining it. Tony moves on.
I mean,
and I don't feel good about it.
I said Tony too, so you're not going to get an argument from me.
You have to make a hard decision, right? I made it. I don't take half measures, as Mike Emmontrout would have made, who is also a character I loved more than Walter. At least he had a code of ethics. Not to rip on Walter, though. Well, Walter's a despicable human being.
Yes.
So is Tony, but you know, I think in a weird way, I think Walter's more despicable than Tony.
Oh, I would can't, definitely
I cannot
put
see,
Walter White below.
And this has nothing to do with the decision. I'm just saying, like, I cannot see Tony ever killing a child, for example. I can't imagine him ever killing a child. That is a Walter White thing. Dude is a motherfucking supervillain. Yeah, like, there's no way around it.
Yeah,
he's definitely way more cold-blooded than Tony Soprano ever was. So, yeah. All right. Let's move on. I don't want to dwell on this any further. I don't feel great about it, but I had to make a decision.
All right. So we have Gregory House versus Rick Grimes. Or no, excuse me, Buffy.
I'll take Buffy.
I'll take Buffy.
All right, yeah. Great. Peace out, House.
Yeah, that bracket
get out of my house.
That bracket is going nowhere near where I thought it was. Like, if I had to pen this down, I'd have lost my million.
You would not have won your March Madness pool.
We have that Cinderella Buffy that I just would not have seen gotten this far. So, and now we have Frank Underwood versus Rylan Givens.
We took Vic Mackey, didn't we?
Oh, we did take Vic Mackey. So it's Frank Underwood versus Vic Mackey.
Which one's? Oh, the Shield.
The Shield versus House of Cards.
I'll take Vic Mackey.
I'll go Frank Underwood.
And I will agree with this one.
With me?
With Vic Mackey.
Okay. All right. Vic Mackey moves on.
Attaboy.
So we're to the final four. So now we have Homer Simpson versus Tony Soprano.
That is literally apples and oranges.
That's tough for me because those are two of my all-time favorite shows. That's twice in a row.
And
it's
unlike Tony Soprano versus Walter White, like these don't really line up in easily comparable ways.
And these are two trend-setting shows too.
Yeah,
like these are two shows that completely changed the medium. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've talked ad nauseum about how much that the Sopranos has, like, changed, you know, drama. But The Simpsons changed, like, the way cartoons come on prime time. How many fucking animated shows are there now?
Like,
more than I can count.
I mean,
they all owe shit to
The
Simpsons.
There's a network for animated shows.
And let me say something further. There's this, like, false thing that older people are saying, which they're going to die soon enough. So, you know, that narrative will die with them. They keep trying to, like, throw the credit onto the Flintstones. But here's the thing with the Flintstones. The Flintstones was the first one to do it, sure. I'll give them that, okay? But here's where it falls apart. Like, nobody else was able to do it until The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And once The Simpsons did it, everybody else started doing it because they were like, whoa, look at what you can do.
You know what you always get really out of The Simpsons is the breadth of stuff that you get out of The Simpsons. I mean, there is a whole gamut of stuff you can get from The Simpsons. I mean, there are really serious episodes. There are really, like, Homer decides to legalize or gets pot legalized. And so, I mean, there is an entire range of stuff you get out of Homer Simpson, The Simpsons. So.
But I'm going to say something controversial now for why I'm voting the way I'm voting. So we all know The Sopranos had some weak seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Like it kind of for how the show started, it went out on a bit of a whimper. Although I do like the last episode, but that they went one season too long. They probably had a lot of bad episodes in the last two seasons. The Simpsons, dude, I would not say, and here's where it's really controversial because I know people are going to jump on me. There's not a bad season in The Simpsons. There's not. There's bad episodes, but there's not a bad season. Like, I've always liked the vast majority of episodes in every season of The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And Homer is always like a big part of everyone. So I'm going to go Homer.
You know, I'm going to say Homer as well, because I can pick up any season. I mean, I can go and watch any seasons of The Simpsons from season one to season 20, where we're 26 now.
Oh, and it's farther. I think it's like 27 or 28. I don't know, dude. I don't even know.
Anyways, I can watch any of the 500 plus episodes and watch any of them. Any of them. And so that's why I'm going to have to put my vote behind the Homer Simpson.
I'm kind of surprised that we're going to get out of this without Tony Soprano getting a vote, because I'm also going Homer, and for many of the reasons you guys mentioned, but also because The Simpsons, in many ways, because of the type of show it is, it's become a fabric of my life, and then by proxy, Homer has become a fabric of my life in the way that The Sopranos maybe hasn't, and it's nothing against The Sopranos as a show. It really just comes down to the type of show, whereas if I'm going to watch The Sopranos, I'm going to watch the beginning to the end. Whereas if I'm going to watch The Simpsons, I'm going to go to the Simpson Randomizer website, pick a random episode, and then just watch it for a half hour, and then I'm done with it.
Can I say what's fucked up about this, too, is that I always forget how much brackets are about matchups sometimes. Uh-huh. Because they really are. Like, you always think the best is gonna win, but it's not always the case. But, like, if you put Walter White against The Simpsons, that very same argument I just used, I would have thought of with Walter White. Uh-huh. And I would have been like, yeah, Walter White's the better character. How fucked up is that, dude? It's so
strange.
Like, if you just seeded these differently, Walter White could have wound up at the top. Maybe Tony Soprano could have wound up at the top if he seeded them differently. Yeah. That's
it's
messed
the weirdest
up, dude.
Damn thing.
Yeah, like one beats the other, but can't beat the third one. That's weird.
So before we do the championship, what's our Mount Rushmore at? So our Mount Rushmore at this point would be Buffy, Vic Mackey, Tony Soprano, and Homer Simpson.
Yes, that's the final four.
So if that was your Mount Rushmore of TV characters, would you be comfortable with those four?
I would have a real tough time.
I'm not asking if they're your ideal, but would you be comfortable with it?
Yeah, I mean, like, for the historic place, yeah. Uh-huh. But, like, not for my personal preference, but right. Yes. Walter White's got to be in there, I think. But yeah.
I would have a tough time with Buffy. I can see where she, I mean, and it's just a personal thing, because I was an age past where Buffy really had its prime.
That's where I'm really immature.
And I'm going to really like jump out of the limb here. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Yeah, I do too.
I love that movie. And I watched a few episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show, and I really had a tough time.
That show's one that it really depends on the episodes you're watching, though.
Yeah.
They had episodes that were phenomenal, and they had ones that were just dog shit.
And then there's a lot that haven't aged well. And then a lot of the first season stuff, like, you really have to get through the first season more than anything.
I got through it with a lot of weed.
But I do believe that.
I'm sure that would help a lot.
Well, there was a girl that I had a crush on that I used to work with when the first season was on, and we used to get off of work, and we would like whatever cable channel was on. I want to say WB.
Was WB
a thing?
Yeah, it was WB.
Okay, so like WB would rerun it at night, and so we would watch, like,
that's what WB had. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
that was their flagship. Like, this is what we got.
Then the CW. Well, WB was a more successful one than whatever it rolled
UPN
in.
Was
yeah,
the
UPN
other one.
Had nothing, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Then
it changed to CW and actually has a few like runner shows.
And it only took them 15 years of being the CW to get there. Yeah. I will say, despite having a lot of rough episodes, Buffy as a character is strong throughout.
Yeah.
Like, she's always a strong character.
Completely agree. And as an actress, she kissed that other girl in Cruel Intentions. Yeah, she did. Really hot.
See, this is the stuff I never saw that got me into this.
Oh, yeah. It's her and Selma
And this
Blair.
Was like
You never early? Saw Selma Blair kiss and Sarah Michelle Gellar? Yeah,
there's like a whole thing, too, when they kiss and their lips move apart and there's the still like a string of spit between them. There's, it's like
you
it's
never
like
saw
hardcore.
That, dude. We're watching that as soon as we finish this.
Thank
that's
you,
a clip YouTube. That's a clip I can bring up and not even get in trouble for having on my history. It's hot, dude. I don't care.
It is. I'm with
I
you.
Don't care. It's hot. And the weird backstory about that was Selma Blair was the front runner for Buffy until Sarah Michelle Gellar auditioned. Like, Selma Blair almost had that part. So, dude, Buffy's kissed. It's like Time Cop. They should have exploded. I know I did. All right, let's move on.
Okay, I just want to ask one thing before I move on.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite character in the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Pee-wee Herman, whatever his name was.
Paul Reubens.
Yeah.
Well, whatever his character name was, yeah.
That was my favorite character.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. You gotta also put it age appropriate. Like, I have not seen it since I was a kid, and when I was a kid, it was the first thing I saw Pee Wee in after he got busted for masturbating
in a porno theater. Come on,
it was bullshit. I'm not saying it's not. It was total bullshit. But like that, like I there was no way he wasn't going to be my favorite character. That's why Mom took us to it. Mom didn't have like a no Pee-wee thing. I think she knew that was ridiculous too. I should probably ask her about that next time she's on the podcast, just to be completely uncomfortable. So I like to put my mom in that place sometimes when we talk.
She's gonna be listening to this episode tomorrow and be like, "Oh my god, why?"
Well, this is the things I would have died like having my mom here. I know she hears me say all the time now, and I'm okay with it. Like, we're adults,
yeah.
And she's a pretty cool adult.
The
so
statute
right
of limitations has passed anyway.
Like, I swear all the time, she's fine with it. I tell her like stupid shit I did when I was a kid. She laughs. Like, it's fine. There's a point when you're a parent that is just like, yeah, my kid's an adult now.
Yeah.
So Zach, I know you're quite a bit younger than the both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of memories of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie?
I saw it one time. I thought it was fine, but it kind of left me cold. And I mostly found everybody in it unlikable. So I don't really have any memories of it other than just not being happy.
And Rutger Hauer.
Was he the lead vampire?
No, he was the one that was training Buffy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I like I said, dude, I haven't seen it since
I haven't
it
either,
first came out on
like,
video, probably.
This stuff like really like stuck in my head.
Well,
I really enjoyed that
movie. You know what was funny about that was when they first made the show, I was like, fuck that. How can they make it off of a good movie? I'm sick of shows doing this, ruining it for a show, like going away from the movie. And then I found out that it was the same writer. And then I was like, oh. Okay, and that's when I started watching it, yeah. Because it's like, oh, you want to do your own thing and turn into a show? That's cool. And then he made Avengers, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going, what was it, House versus Buffy?
We already did that one, didn't Buffy win? And we said goodbye, House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we're the last one, which was, no, we have.
We should
no, we are on... Buffy versus Vic Mackey.
I'll probably take Buffy.
I gotta go Buffy too. I enjoyed some episodes of Buffy. Like I said, one episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. I gotta admit, it's off of my inexperience.
Yeah.
But
hey, Buffy's a regular George Mason.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, don't worry about it.
It's a basketball buster.
2006 March Madness. That's the one I was most invested in growing up. So that's why I remember it so well.
Did they make it to the final round?
I think they made it to the Elite Eight, actually. I think that's where they got knocked out.
By the way, I watched that documentary you were talking about. We were talking on the porch about...
With Akeem Olajuwon and...
Yeah, Clyde Drexler, but they're not the team that won that. I don't remember. It's the longest long shot in NCAA history. That documentary is amazing.
Dude, I was watching...
I can't remember what it's called, but it is on Netflix.
It's a 30 for 30 film. And
I watched it the very next day after you talked about it.
And I was at the local establishment here, the brew house, enjoying a beer, eating some French fries, and they had a typical sports bar where they got TVs all the way around you, and they had ESPN Classics on one of the TVs, and they had a 30 for 30, and I was like riveted to this TV. And I couldn't hear a word.
And I will tell you, if you hear the words, it like you'll cry before the documentary is over.
Dude, I was almost in tears, and I didn't hear word one.
Because the coach like died like 9 years after that, and a good chunk of it is talking about that coach and him fighting cancer and stuff. And but it's
amazing. Yeah, because that's the whole what is it? The thing that ESPN does with the for cancer every year.
Yeah, there's some kind of benefit that's in his name.
Yeah.
And he's really funny if you hear him talk. Like, he's almost like a stand-up comedian when he's in press conferences. He's really interesting. But I recommend watching that. And it's one of those things, like, Clyde Drexler was my childhood hero. And so when I watch old footage of that, because I haven't seen him play for so long, I always forget how fucking graceful and amazing he looked. Like, they showed him just lit, like this dude. All right, Zach, you could appreciate this. This dude like sets up for a charge, and Clyde literally jumps over him and dunks.
That's some
like
space
the guy's
jam.
Like 6'7", man, and he leaps over him like a child and dunks over his head. It's amazing. I forget how fucking amazing Clyde is, and like that dude is my fucking hero. Like, I got his jersey right behind Zach's head, and I forget how amazing that guy is sometimes. And watching old clips of Olajuwon and like Ralph Sampson and Patrick Ewing and I'm sure there's a Celtic in Jerome. There somewhere.
Dude, there was a lot of there was so many great greats that came out of that.
They went through like at least like 8 NBA legends to win that championship. It's amazing. And there's not a single NBA legend on that roster either. There's like a dude that I recognized as an NBA player, Nate Thurman, I think.
Oh, I've heard that name before.
Am I getting the right name? I could be getting the wrong name, but
I can't even back you up on this.
That's a name I've heard of.
Yeah, I mean, like a role player in the NBA, but still, it's fucking incredible. Anyway, so where are we at?
We are at the
we got Buffy advanced, right?
We got
Buffy versus Homer.
Buffy versus Homer.
What a matchup!
Well, I'm going Homer.
If you had just listed all the characters in the bracket and had us guess which would be the final two,
no way would you ever come up with that.
I'm happy about it, though.
Girl power, dude. But I'm going Homer.
It's got to be Homer.
I agree. It has to be Homer.
All right, well, we got a unanimous decision here.
Listen, you know, it was for Buffy, it was just an honor to be nominated.
Dude, she made a serious Cinderella run.
It helps that she came out of the weakest division.
Let me ask you guys a question. Since we're not recording the other show tonight, do you want to like take a break and come back and record a little bit more?
I can do a little bit more because actually I almost forgot. This is what I was bringing up. Connor wanted me to ask if we could play a trailer he made in high school on the show.
Yes, we can.
I'll just do a little tease now. It was something I asked him to do. And I think I might have helped dig up some clips. I can't remember if I did or not. But basically, it's a trailer for Gone with the Wind as if it was a summer action movie blockbuster.
Oh, I know this. I've seen this on Facebook.
So he wanted to know if we would play it. And okay. I said, okay.
Well, we're going to cut to that trailer right now. And when we come back, we'll have smoked up.
Started. As God is my witness, they're not going to lick me. I'm going to live through this, and when it's all over, I'll never be hungry again. No, nor any of my folks. If I have to lie, steal, cheat, or kill, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again.
Someday I want you to say to me the words I heard you say to Ashley Wilkes. I love you.
I hate you, Glenda!
be kissed and often. And by someone who knows how.
I don't know nothing about guns and babies.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Great trailer.
Yeah.
So we should explain.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because it's all audio. There's a little bit. So it says at one point something about like an action-packed movie when the music starts to change, and they show Clark Gable throwing that glass against the wall a couple of times, and then it shows Hulk in one scene when you hear that growling.
Good job, Connor.
Yeah, brilliant, Connor. I've seen it like 5 times now, but it's still brilliant. Yep. The fifth time.
We'll put up a link so you can see the video version. I say we, and what I really mean is Biggs either will or he won't.
Yeah. Okay, so you wanted to talk about your daughter turning 13 here, right?
Yeah, you're already burying this lead.
Yeah, I'm just jumping right in there.
So my daughter turned 13 this week, and it's been an interesting go so far. So I guess the big push when you turn 13 now is it's a rite of passage because you can legally have a Facebook page at this point.
Oh, boy.
So
they're not allowed before that, or is that?
Yeah, Facebook won't allow you.
Facebook's like the legal terms is you can't have a Facebook page under 18.
That's why River's badass, because she broke the law for years.
Because all you have to do is use a birth date that's older than 13.
It must have been what she did.
Yeah, and I have nieces and nephews who've had Facebook pages for 4 or 5 years and still not 13.
See, I had this conversation with my wife. I was like, because Shannon like had her birthday, which I saw your wife saying something about that. And then she went to be friends with me on Facebook. And I was like, yeah, all right. And then I was like, wait, are these connected? Like, did you say she couldn't have a Facebook account until she was 13? But now I understand it's a guy from The Social Network said she couldn't until she was 13.
Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Good job, Jesse Eisenberg.
But you said something shocking to me. She's been listening to all these podcasts.
You know, she, I go through her phone once in a while just to make sure there's nothing inappropriate happening.
And which she totally knows now.
she's known since day one. Because my daughter is a diabetic, so she has to have a smartphone because there's smartphone apps that like help her with her counting carbs and different things she has to go through. Anyway, so we got her. She has an iPhone, and I go through it every once in a while. I noticed one time I was going through it, she had like a bunch of stuff grouped together, which was stuff I never use, which for the most part is like stock quotes and news stuff that she's never going to really use. So she like grouped it all the icons together in one little section.
Smart kid, man.
And one of them was a podcast feed. I was like, really? So you're never going to listen to Dad's old podcast here? And I think she took that as a challenge. So she started listening to him, and she's been really enjoying it. And it was even funny because she's really gotten into the We Had a Good Life podcast.
Yeah, which reminds me that I keep forgetting to plug this week after week, but I was actually on We Had a Good Life a couple episodes ago.
That episode was hilarious.
Yeah, I drank a thickening, which is their new drink, where you take one part ragu and one part malt liquor and drink. Whoa. Actually, you take the malt liquor, you drink it down to the label, and then you fill it with ragu the rest of the way. Whoa. It's not bad, dude. It tastes like a red beer.
I believe that you believe that.
You can hear me believing it.
I believe that
it's my honest reaction on there. You know, I said I was not going to take a drink until we started recording.
It's really interesting, like listening to you drink that, because as you go, like the first drink is like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? And then as you go on, it's like, oh, it's not bad. It's kind of like a red beer.
And
like,
I have a theory about this. It's not that it tasted better. You just got 40. Drunker. Yeah.
Well, and I don't remember if it's on the podcast or not, but I said to Matt and Dub at one point that, like, I avoided the ragu that had, like, the meat flavor.
Smart.
And they were like, oh, that's a great idea.
That sounds like, to me, that sounds like a horrific idea. Like, the thinner the sauce, the better for me would be. My ideal thickening.
I did look for something that was extra thin, and it doesn't exist. It's just old traditional ragu. And by the way, still kind of chewy at parts. There's like little onions and peppers and stuff that you chew on. It's not bad.
Only way I would drink it is if somebody's making money. Me or a charity. I don't care which, but somebody has to be making money.
Yeah, I did it for free. I just did it because... Matt and Deb were making me laugh a lot talking about the podcast. I thought it sounded like a horrible idea. And there's something about Deb where, like, I have fun doing horrible ideas with him. I don't know. It's always been that way.
The other one I really got into was the one where they were talking about, it was the Valentine's Day episode where they were talking about going on the airplane ride for the first time.
Oh, and yeah.
That one really resonated a lot because I had my first airplane ride a little over a year ago.
Really?
And yeah, he talked about this on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so much of that like came flooding back to me. And it's interesting because in a week from today, I'll be taking my fifth airplane ride. So
yeah, we're doing our Vegas trips. I'm going to Zion National Park and Grand Canyon as well.
But you're not flying, pussy.
No, I'm not.
Fucking pussy.
No, it's too much, dude. If we had flown, loaded our budget everybody. Would have been about $75 a day. Probably not even that. That's what led to the decision to drive.
That's a tough sell for the tribe you got going.
Yeah, but I kind of like this idea better because like I took the old busted ass like iPhone and I've been loading music onto it, which I haven't done for a long time. I've just been putting podcasts on the phone and stuff. And that's been fun. Like, I've been listening to a lot of music while I've been loading it up. So, like, every Nine Inch Nails album.
So, it's going to be interesting for me because I just bought a new album today that just dropped on St. Patrick's Day.
What'd you get?
The new Modest Mouth.
Oh, Modest Mouse.
Yeah, see, there's another guy that loves it.
I love Modest Mouse. I can love Modest Mouse. It's all right. You're not always right. It's fine. Everybody can
be wrong
sometimes.
You know, I bet you would change your mind if you actually saw them live.
Maybe.
They're a fun live band.
They are a fun live. And I haven't seen them live. I just enjoy their music.
Yeah.
But they have two drummers in the band. And they play off each other so well. And it doesn't come across on their music so much, but I guess for the live show, it's fucking phenomenal.
I've only ever watched live videos on the internet, but it's a lot of fun. They also, Johnny Marr became their guitarist for We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank. And then I don't know if he's still playing with them or not, but it's a fun story about how they hired him. They put out a want ad for a guitarist who had a tone similar to Johnny Marr Smith's era guitar playing. They're like, we want a Johnny Marr as guitarist. And Johnny Marr answered the want ad.
That is so close to the story out of Taxi. Taxi Driver? Taxi? What is it? Which one's a bad Fallon movie? Which one's Scorsese?
Taxi Driver
Scorsese.
All right, that's what I thought. Yeah. All right. Okay, so like Taxi Driver, they put out a casting call for an actress who was Sybil Shepherd esque.
Yeah.
And Sybil Shepherd said, well, why not get the real thing? Like,
I'm Sybil Shepherd esque.
Yeah.
I think I could nail it.
So she got the part. It makes sense, yeah, right?
Or Kirsten Drama Wahlberg couldn't nail drama for Entourage. So it's not always a guaranteed thing.
That's sort of, by the way, speaking of Entourage, really quick, like, Aquaman is happening.
Yeah.
How weird is that? And it's the dude from Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Which one?
And Jason Momoa, Khal Drogo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you have stars. To, like, really, like...
Yeah, and he's talking loads of shit about Marvel now, too.
I think he's just having fun with it. I actually kind of totally like that he's doing it. Yeah, I mean, why not? Stoke the fires a little bit.
Yeah, I'm all right.
They put out that picture, though, and this is fun with the talking shit about Marvel. When I first saw that picture, I was like, they're making a Namor movie? Because he looks like Namor.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. His attitude and everything it's looks Namor. Like Namor. Yeah. Which is probably the right direction to go.
Yes.
Why not? Like, Marvel's using Thanos. Like, it's totally ripping off Darkseid. Just might as well get your revenge in.
There were some things in that Aquaman design that I really like. Like, I like instead of the scale mail orange armor, he just has a scale tattoos down his arm. Like, I thought that was a nice way of incorporating that design without, you know, having bright orange scales over his torso.
And that dude can rock some tattoos. Let's
yes, he can.
Yeah, they're serious about making an Aquaman movie, and you can sort of tell with the casting and everything because it's mm-hmm. it's totally a departure from the Aquaman that everybody makes a joke out of, you know?
Yeah. So,
but I'm just saying, like, why not? When did they even like, here's what I would have done if I was DC, just to get HBO fans on board. I would have done that guy from Entourage. I would have had him come in for an audition.
Wait,
I never would have intended on. So wait, can him,
I
but, just,
I love yeah. that you're going to get HBO fans on board instead of casting the actor from a beloved HBO show. We did cast, bring in a different actor from a different beloved no, HBO show.
Yeah, yeah. The just older make sure HBO
we're getting
fans.
An HBO guy.
That's an excellent point that I didn't think through. But it would have been fun just to like talk about casting this other guy.
I actually think it would be fun if they did find a way to get Adrien Grenier like a 10-second role, like a five and out, five
that
lines
would
and
be
out.
Great.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
I'd love
and
it.
If it was animated, they'd totally do it, but they would never do no. it. For the, their movies
well,
are
I
way
was,
too serious.
If they
serious.
Could find a way to have him play a serious, just have him as a serious role, like let him play a reporter who discovers Aquaman
yeah,
or something.
But I feel like DC is not, like Marvel is totally the wink and the nod
oh, definitely.
With their movies, but like DC only does that in their cartoons. And the
no,
only
and the
time,
TV shows they do it. Like, fucking yeah. mad they do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
TV
they don't
shows.
Do it in the movies. Their movies have to
it's
be,
so
like, deathly
serious. It's so weird that
serious.
They draw that line. We're like, we can have a little bit of wink and nod in the TV shows, but not in the movies. Unacceptable there.
Yeah, because Warner Brothers did my favorite wink and a nod, too. They had The Death of Superman. Like, they did an animated one of it, which is a pretty good, like, animated cartoon. And there's this part where, so Kevin, the backstory, Kevin Smith does the whole story about John Peters when he was writing Superman Lives. And he talked about like the big fucking spider over and over again. Like he needs to like razzle a spider yeah. at one part. It has the whole story about that. And it wound up in Wild Wild West where like the gates open and it's a giant mechanical spider. And so in that cartoon, they have this one little short, and I guarantee you can find it on YouTube. If you just put in like Kevin Smith spider, you'll find the original clip and you'll find the Death of Superman one where, you see like, so there's this giant mechanical spider that's like fighting like one of the fake Supermans that's fighting it, you know? And then they have this part where you see like an animated Kevin Smith and they got Kevin Smith's voice. He goes, psh, like we needed any help fighting a mechanical spider. But I was like, that is such a like inside baseball. You cannot uh-huh. get more inside baseball than like, hey, do you like Kevin Smith, who most people don't know? Like, well, guess what? This one thing that he did, a talking thing that most people don't know,
even
we're calling
who
back
like
a
him
joke
probably
for that.
Don't know.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, if you know that and you love that story, that's fucking the funniest joke ever when you watch it play out.
And it's even ripping on DC, which is, that is amazing.
Yeah,
and
I guess it really is. Well, it's ripping on Warner Brothers for sure.
Yeah.
Because Wild Wild West wasn't really a DC joint, but same corporation at the end of the day.
Oh.
John Peters is terrible. But I think he was a producer on the last Superman movie.
Okay, so I got
what that means, I don't know.
That's
though.
Almost definitely a leftover from his contract
yeah.
writing.
Yeah, like, no, I guarantee it.
That's
yeah.
something is like, and when it gets made, I get a producer credit, come hell or high fucking water.
Dude, I had to sit through Superman Lives. Which is a great script, by the way. If you ever read that, it's a pretty fun read. His non-flying Superman that John Peters had him write.
So you brought up the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
The fun story I have with Wild Wild West was the Y2K. I ended up at your house, and we threw a fucking rager of a party.
Yeah, we were at the Chessman Apartments. So it's like these Porter flats, like old schools.
About 6 or 7 blocks from where we're recording tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And so you walk in one door. There's like 3 different doors you can walk into, and each one has an apartment on the ground floor, the middle floor, and the top floor. And that's it. Like, there's one apartment for each level. So we had open doors on all of our level and just this giant fucking party for 2000.
Yeah, and then I got really drunk. I ended up with I left your apartment or party for a while with Gay Gary.
I remember. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we went to this house. Like, Greg's, he's told me, we're going to this house party. We're going to this house party. So we're like, I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm down for whatever, you know. And we're throwing, like, artillery shells out the window
yeah.
as we're driving.
I continued to do that at 6 in the morning with him, too, later. No, it was closer to 9. I'll get in that story in a minute.
Anyways, and we end up at this house, and I'm having a good time at this house, and I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, God, this place looks really fucking familiar. I'm like, wait a second. I lived in this house for 8 months. I'm like, I know this. We rented it from the people who were throwing their party. Like, we rented, like, our family rented it from them. I'm like, oh, fuck. I had basically the whole basement to myself as a 10-year-old.
Greg told me that, like, that entire party, when you're over at that party, you were so smashed and couldn't hardly do anything. And all you said over and over again was, this was my house. Like, 25
I'm pretty sure
times.
That's how I described it earlier is how it's going through my head. I'm sure it's like drunk me from outside is like.
Do you remember how you got that drunk?
By drinking alcohol?
Okay.
Drinking
we had
a
giant audience because we had a lot of people at this party. Like people I'd never seen because we opened up
before,
you know, all the apartments.
Since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had this giant party and we decided to play a game that we had an audience, dude. Like there's at least 20 people laughing at us, watching us, because it was just me and you. So we always used to listen to this Bob and Doug McKenzie album, The Great White North.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this game called Beer Hunter. You remember now, don't you?
I remember this night.
So you take a 6-pack of beers and you shake up one like really hard. And then you like mix them up in a giant box of beer and you pull one out and you open it over your head. And the person who loses is the person who like gets like all the beer exploding
Russian roulette,
on your head.
Basically.
But we had a beer bong with us. So like we went through one at a time and finally I get to the 6th one and I'm like, oh, this is going to explode on my head. So I open it. Nothing.
It had already gotten
so like, yeah, it had already like settled down by this
so
point.
I just like bonged it anyway. And then like I think we got another 6-pack and continued to play. Like we were fucking, I don't know how we survived that night.
And man. I remember like fall, like because you had like you could take out the screen of your apartment.
Yeah,
there was like a
go out on the
a
porch.
Balcony, like you weren't supposed to go out there, but
there was a 2-foot open gap.
Oh,
to the cement below. So like if you were trying to lean against like the wall, you were fucking gonna slip down and die. Like yeah, and people were hanging out there drinking.
And I remember like falling back through the apartment. And then I remember like passing out for a while. And then somebody put on a Wild Wild West and you and I think it was Greg were trying to like revive me and like, hey, we're watching Wild Wild West. Salma Hayek's boobs.
No, butt.
Oh, it
had
was
the, butt. She had the button-up thing in the back. That's sad I can remember that.
And so I, like, aroused, and I'm like, fuck, I really woke up with Salma Hayek's ass.
But you did.
I did.
I had to work it at 5:30 in the morning the next day. I could not get it off of work. I was working at Burger King at the time. So I come rolling in so drunk. And my friend Brad was like the manager. And so the first thing you're supposed to do is like pull buns out of like this back area. Like it's this giant rack. And the 3 racks. So they were new racks at the time. So the racks are like twice as high as me, like 12 feet high when you originally pull them out, okay? So I pull out the first rack and I fucking fall over and half of the rack just hits the ground. Oh, I like reassemble all the buns like in the plastic bags.
They're
and, like,
plastic bag protected. So
yep, I pull out the second rack and I fucking fall over and like all of it falls over and I like reassemble it. Brad's like, let me do the third one. I'm like, dude, I can do it. I can do it. Don't worry about it. I pull out the third one, fucking falls over. He's like, dude, go home. So like, I worked for like a half hour and got told by my boss to fucking go home. Didn't finish my shift. Greg like picked me up and we threw artillery shells around from like 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. just driving around drunk as hell throwing artillery shells out the window under the carriages of people's cars. Oh man. We're awful, man. I can't believe I did that. But so satisfying when you see this like explosion under somebody's car.
Just throw something out the window and just boom.
Like, you know what artillery shells are? Like the things you like launch out of the cannons that go way up in the air. Way more satisfying watching them explode under cars. I'm just saying. I just admit it. This, if I was on We Had a Good Life, this would be a We Had a Good. What's their segment?
Did you have a good life this week?
I did have a good life this week.
What was the other one you were trying to remember earlier on the porch? Drunken.
I don't remember now. See, that's the problem. We come up with shit on the porch and can't remember.
Come on, Zach, you were there.
It.
Yeah, remember, I fell asleep for a little bit.
No. He's talking on the front porch.
Oh, I mean, lots happened since then.
I mean, he doesn't
then.
Know the story, though. Why would he remember what it is?
Yeah, I just know you guys were talking about a story.
Yeah, it's all good. We'll remember another time.
That's good to go.
Yeah. So, do we got anything else to talk about here?
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good time to kill it.
All right.
And I had a good life this week.
Well, here's what I do want to say. Take it from the pages of We Had a Good Life, because I always forget to do this. So, if you want to listen to the whole archive of our shows, we got it on montuckyskies.blogspot.com. Hey, why not like the Facebook page for the Not Safe for Network? Me and Brandon post shit on there all the time. That's got nothing to do with the podcast necessarily. Just
but it's for all the good fans out there. We like to throw in some bones there.
If you like the show, you'll like the stuff we post.
You could write an iTunes review for us.
Yeah, please do. Please do write
those are good for the algorithms. We might get bumped up on the rankings.
Oh, and there is a great show coming up, or that's out right now. So Aaron Donaldson and his wife, Kate, are now doing a show that's called The Alien Project, which just search out The Alien Project. It comes right up on iTunes. It's fucking great. It's sort of like what we did on Real Roulette, but with like targeted alien movies.
On board.
So they're not necessarily tortured with every... There's two episodes right now. There's like one where they explain it, like what they're doing. And then there's an episode where they talk about fire in the sky. I really like it, dude. He clearly like... cold the best of like podcasts like and just put it together. Him and Kate bounce off each other really, really well. Like I really enjoy it. It's another side of Aaron that you don't hear on That's Debatable, because on That's Debatable it's very serious, you know, and it's over real issues, and this is just making fun of stuff in movies. Yeah,
yeah,
there's like real subtext in a lot of these movies, and Aaron brings them up. He talked about this podcast, doing this podcast on our show.
Yeah,
talked about it on We Had a Good Life a little bit too, but he's actually doing it now. And it's great, man. I can't speak highly enough of it. So other than my podcast,
add
it's my favorite podcast. You know, I'm conceited like that. But it's like the number two podcast out there right now. All right, anybody got anything else?
Nope.
All right, take it easy.
Don't respect the outro.
You
bitch.
You goddamn bitch.
I did it.
Hey man, thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some. I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, it's something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include rule birds, best available, you have a good life, monthly skies, box office battle, within men, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, on Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow, my whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network, putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.